If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let me say while you're turning there, it's good to see everyone who's come this evening for the last evening of this gospel meeting. I want to say with a true heart thank you to all of the elders here and Brother August and for calling me and asking me to come. I don't know about you, but I've had a good time in the Lord. Thank you. Thank you for all of your compliments on the sermons. You know, I'm just a tell it like it is preacher. I don't believe in beating around the bush. I just believe in beating the bush. And hopefully folks will come out of the bushes. And I just had a good time in the Lord. Thank you for all the food that you have fed me. I think I've probably gained some weight. Not that I needed that, but everything has worked out for good. I promise tonight I'm not going to be long. I know I was real long last night, but I was trying to get a point across. Tonight I'm going to keep it kind of short tonight. So beginning in the book of Peter, I want to talk tonight about the purpose and power of God's word. I want to talk about the Bible tonight. I like to do that also. The Bible is so important in our lives as children of God. The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, seeing therefore you have purified your souls. And this is, if you want to follow along, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, he says, seeing therefore you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Peter says, all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man as the flowers of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth away, but the word of God shall endure forever. The Bible is one of the most powerful tools that we have in this modern day. It is our roadmap from earth to glory. No man or woman is going to heaven unless they follow the Bible. No man or woman is going. It gives you instructions. It is a light unto our pathway. It tells you what to do, what not to do, and how often to do certain things. And we have to become as new babes, desiring the pure milk, the Bible says, of the word. You have to become like a baby. You know, you have a child and you have to train it. You have to tell them what not to touch and what to touch and what not to do and what to do. We have to become like babies when it comes to the word of God, that whatever it tells us to do, we need to do it. Point blank and simple. So I'm going to make 5 points on this, and then the lesson is yours. First, let's validate the word, all right? Just in case there's somebody here who don't think the Bible is real, it's not true, let's validate the word. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, and let's look at verse number 19 and 20. Now, I've talked to people about the Bible. I've talked to them at work. I've talked to them in different places. And I've had people tell me to my face, you cannot trust the Bible. You can't trust the Bible. Man wrote it. I even had a person tell me that King James was a drunk. I had somebody tell me that King James, he stayed drunk all the time. So you got the King James version of the Bible, you cannot trust it. All right? But the Bible is bigger than King James. It's big. You're going to see here in Scripture that the Bible is from God. All right? And God don't make any mistakes. So the Bible is perfect, no matter who wrote it. And watch what the Scripture says here. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 19 and 20. Well, 19, 20, and 21. 2 Peter 1, 19, 20, and 21. And so, Peter says, we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Watch what Peter says. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So the Bible is from God. God just inspired men to write the Bible. So the Bible is perfect. We don't have to question the Bible. All right? We don't have to question the Bible. The Bible is right, and the Bible is perfect. God is right. God is perfect. He don't make any mistakes. He's not like us. You remember what God speaking through the major prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 55? God said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways." God says, "For as high as the heavens are from the earth, are my thoughts than your thoughts, and my ways from your ways." God said, "I'm not like you, and I don't think like you." God ain't like us. We think about secular things. God thinks about heavenly things, all right? So let's validate the word of God. The word of God is perfect. Now, if the word of God is perfect, that means you can trust the word of God. Is that right? That means you can trust it. Now, we trust mama, and mama's not perfect. We trust daddy, and daddy's not perfect. Daddy makes mistakes. Mama makes mistakes, but we trust them because that's mom and daddy. And we know mom and daddy's got our best means in mind. We know they're always going to look out for us. Well, God is bigger than mom and daddy, and God has your best interests in mind. So why not trust God? Why not trust the Bible? Now, we're funny as people. Now, if you got a car and you got a navigation system in the car, all right, or you might have one on the dashboard, on the window, or some people use iPhones, you can punch in an address in the navigation system, and a woman will start speaking to you. Y'all with you? You punch in where you at and the destination you want to go to, and she'll say calculating, and she'll start, and she will direct you from where you at to where you go. Y'all with me? And we trust her, do we not? She'll say, "Go so many miles, take a left. Go so many miles, take a right. Go up the hill, go down the hill." Wherever she says, we gonna go where she tells us to go, because we trust that she knows where she's going. Y'all with me? Me and my wife have punched in addresses before, and she took us somewhere outside of where we was going. Because see, computers can make mistakes. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. Computers can make mistakes, but God doesn't make any mistakes. So we can trust God's word. We can trust it. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And let's look at verse number 15. Now, if you trust God's word, if we validated the word and we know the word's from God, and if we trust God's word, that means we will study God's word and let it dwell in us. We will believe God's word. Y'all with me? Last night I told you there was one church. I told you that strongly because I believe that. And I believe that, why? Not because I came up with it, but because the word of God says it is. So nobody, no matter, I told you last night, Baptist pastor, Catholic priest, Pentecostal bishop, nobody, I don't know about you, but nobody's able to sit me down and convince me of nothing else unless they can prove it in here. Y'all with me? Now, if you can prove it in here, I'll change who I am. But they're not going to be able to prove it because I done read this. I done read it a million times, and it's not in here. Because I trust this, that it is right. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15, the Bible says, "Study or be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, we are the Bible church. Now, if you believed everything I said last night, we are the Bible church. It is embarrassing I'm not just saying this to you. I done said this to many folks in different churches. It is embarrassing for us to be the Bible church and not know the Bible. Amen. That's embarrassing. If we are the Bible church, you got to know the Bible because you're commanded to preach the gospel. The Great Commission, Matthew chapter 27, Luke's account, Mark's account. We are commanded to preach the gospel. You must know the Bible. And it is your responsibility to know. All right? You will not be able to stand before God and say, I did not know. It's your responsibility to know. Now, if you're out here, what is this street? Is this Lebanon Road, right? All right, so if you're out here on Lebanon Road and the speed limit is 45, and you're in the car, you on the phone or doing something else, and you're doing 55, Brother August. You're doing 55. And all of a sudden, and let's just hypothetically say that you didn't know how fast you was going. I'm give you the benefit of the doubt. You cruising along, you just doing over the speed limit. So the blue lights come behind you. He pulls you over. He asks you for your license and registration. And he says, ma'am or sir, you was doing 55 in a 45. You look at him and say, well, I didn't know. He going to look at you and tell you it's your responsibility to know. There's signs posted up and down the street. It's your responsibility to know. Y'all see that? That same principle applies with the Bible. It's your responsibility to know what the Bible says. So we must study to show ourselves approved. And when we know the Bible, we can trust the Bible, and we can preach the word and preach it with confidence. All right? Not being embarrassed, not being ashamed of it. And we can go everywhere and preach the word. What I preached last night, if they let me, I'll go into a Baptist church and preach that. I'll stand right in there and preach it. I'll stand right in any denomination. What I preached last night, I'll preach the same thing to them. I'm confident of it because I trust the word and I trust that there's one church. And that's what the scripture teaches. Go to Colossians chapter 3 and let's look at verse number 16. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 16. I talked about a second ago the word of God dwelling in you, part of trusting the word. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16 and 17. The Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, the word of God must dwell in you richly, with all wisdom, teaching, and to admonish one another. But he says, whatever you do in word or deed, give thanks to God. I want you to know tonight that I'm nothing. I'm nobody. Everything I am because of Christ Jesus. And one of the things that kind of gets under my skin is when men start thinking they're somebody. When the Bible clearly says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. The Apostle Paul, and some of y'all talk about Marshall Keeble, and I've heard people talk about BP Good Pasture and Ira North, and I can go on and on. The Apostle Paul, you can make an argument, was probably God's greatest preacher. Had four missionary journeys, responsible for thousands and thousands and thousands of people being added to the church on those four journeys. And that same Paul said in the book of Corinth that I am nothing. It is only because of Christ I am who I am. Paul says, I'm the least of the apostles. That's what Paul said. It's only because of Christ I am who I am. So I stand tonight and tell you I'm nothing. God has made me who I am. So I give thanks. This gospel meeting is all praise and glory to God. That's what it is. I appreciate your comments, but let's give glory to God. Because God has been good. Y'all agree with that? Amen. So we validated the word. We should trust the word by studying it and knowing it and letting us dwell in us. The word of God is to unite us. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The word of God is to unite us and not divide us. Now, I don't know if y'all know this here at Green Hill. I hope this date is right, but I think King James wrote the Bible, the King James Version, around 1608 or so, somewhere in that vicinity. And when the King James Version was written, it was the only Bible that was in print. Y'all with me? Now, today we have the New American Standard, the NIV. We have so many versions of the Bible. I'm not a fan of that. All right? Because different versions relax in teaching on different things. Y'all with me? It used to be a time my wife's father, when she was a little girl, was an elder in the church way back in the 70s or whatever. And it used to be a time, he told me, that all churches of Christ everywhere had only the King James Version of the Bible. Somebody know it. That's all they had. Every church everywhere across the country only followed King James. You said, why? Because so everybody can be on the same page and everybody can be in unison. But if you read a scripture, I'm going somewhere with this. If you read a scripture in the Bible from the King James, and then you read it from the NIV, and you read it from the New American Standard, they all say similar things, but sometimes they change a word here or there. And the devil is crafty, y'all. The devil is crafty. I've seen people argue over eldership in the church. If a man qualifies to be an elder, because King James will say one thing and the New American Standard will say something else. Y'all with me? So people debate things. But if everybody had King James, there would be no debate. Everybody get that? So there should not be any division in the churches. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10, Paul says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Splits in the church is not in the Bible. Now, y'all know, I just tell it like it is. Splitting in the church is not in the Bible. And churches of Christ split everywhere. Sometimes over frivolous things. Sometimes over scriptures things. But this early church never split. So that's not from God. That's from man. That's from man. And that's a major problem today in the churches of Christ. Churches of Christ are splitting everywhere. And the funny thing about it is the Bible only says one thing. So when a church splits, somebody's wrong. Somebody's wrong. Both sides can't be right. Because the Bible don't say two things. The Bible says one thing. And Paul here in telling the church at Corinth, let there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together, same mind, same spirit. Now watch this. I try to make stuff elementary plain. So if a man grows up in the church, and he's been taught all his life that a man and woman is what consummates a marriage. Now I'm using this as an example. A man and woman consummates a marriage. And he's been taught all his life that God means for you to have one wife. Y'all with me? Don't get quiet on me. And he grows up and becomes of age, and he decides that he's going to have more than one wife. Y'all with me? And that same man who was taught that at a young age will take the Bible, since he's in this situation, and he will take the Bible and try to prove how his new situation is right. I've seen it happen with my own eyes. I've seen it happen. The Bible only says one thing. Marriage is between a man and a woman. It's not between two women. It's not between two men. I know that ain't popular today. Homosexuality, y'all, is a sin. Paul said, no homosexual shall enter into the kingdom of God. You can't take the Bible and prove homosexuality. You can't take the Bible and prove multiple wives. You can't take the Bible and prove sin. When you do that, that causes division in the church. And we in the church need to stand on that. We need to stand on what the Bible says. Now, when you do that, it's going to upset some folks. But that's all right. Let them be upset. If their heart is right, they'll come back to God. But let them be upset. Matter of fact, let me give you Bible for this. A scripture just came to mind. Go in your Bibles, if you will, because I like to prove everything by the Bible. Go in your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. None of this stuff that's happening today is new. Paul, on his four missionary journeys, had this same problem. All right? But Paul, like me, he didn't hold his tongue. When folks was wrong, Paul told you that you was wrong. And watch what Paul said. Now, those of you who may know the history of the church know that the Corinthian church was a mess. It was a mess. They were marrying in-laws, committing sodomy. They was doing all kind of foolishness in the Corinthian church. So Paul went there, established the church. He left, and the word got back to Paul that they were out of control. So Paul had to write back to the church at Corinth and straighten this mess out. And watch what Paul says here. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 8. 2 Corinthians 7, verse number 8. Paul says, but even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, for I perceive that the same epistle that made you sorry, though only for a while. Paul says, now I rejoice. Not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you may suffer loss from us in nothing. Paul said, I had to write you, and I had to make you mad. I had to tell you the truth, but it led for you to repent. Sometimes you got to step on folks' toes and tell the truth. And if their heart is right, they'll come back. But the word of God should unite us in the church and not split us in the church. And too often times, before I move on, we're letting the same Bible that we say we believe split us in the church. And just think about this for a minute. God sent his son. He died for the church, Acts 20:28. The church is his bride, Ephesians 5. He's married to it. The church is in subjection to him, also Ephesians 5. How does God feel, who sits high and looks low and sees how we are in the church today, how we are splitting, how we are arguing in the church? God knows what that early church was, and he looks at the church today in 2017 and how in some ways it's a mess. And I'm not saying here at Green Hill. I'm talking about the church as a whole. It is a mess. The seats are empty. We're not converting people. We're split on the word of God. I've been in business meeting and brothers are split on the word of God. Even though this Bible says one thing, people are split on the Bible. Let me move on. Y'all got quiet on. So we're validating the word. We're trusting the word. We're being united through the word. I want you to know there's power in the word of God. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Y'all, I'm almost done. Hebrews chapter 4. There's power in the word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, very familiar scriptures, 11 through 13. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone falls according to the same examples of disobedience. Watch what he says. There's power in the word. But the word of God is living. The word of God is moving, y'all. The same way the devil is moving today, the word of God is moving. It's on the move. The Bible says the word of God is living. powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. If you are here tonight, or if you've been here any day this week, and you've been sitting out here, and you may think in your head, Brother Gaines is preaching to me. That's God talking to you through his word. That's what that is. Because it's living, it's quick, it's powerful. And the word of God is designed to cut you if you're not living right. It's designed to do that. And God being, as Peter says, patient and long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all that should come to repentance. God is giving you chance after chance after chance to get yourself right. But in the meanwhile, the Bible is going to keep cutting you. It's going to keep doing that. But that's God's love for you. That's all that is. Because he sent his son, he's going to keep preaching to you till one day you come. Now, don't let him catch you. All right? Like I told you the other night, don't die being outside of grace. Don't die in sin. Because when you die, grace and mercy is over. You can't go. Remember the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16. You can't come back. All right? But look what the verse number 13 is. And there is no creature, Hebrews 4:13, hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. I can't explain it, but God is everywhere. Y'all with me? He's here right now. He's in California right now. He's in China right now. God is everywhere at all times. Nothing you can do that God does not see. The Bible says everything is naked before him. So again, it behooves us to get ourselves right with God. The Bible says in John 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. The Bible says in verse 14, and that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God gave us the best that he had. He loves us. And he keeps giving us chance after chance to get ourselves right with God. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Some very, very strong language or wording that Paul says here to Timothy, the young servant Timothy. He was a young boy at this time. Well, Paul told him the truth. This is what's coming your way. As you start in the message, as you start in the ministry, Timothy, this is what you need to prepare yourself for. All right? And watch what the scripture says. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse number 3. But know this, Paul tells Timothy, that in the last days perilous times will come. That was then, that's today. All right? For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And watch what he says in verse number 5. All of these things are happening today, but watch what he says in verse 5, and this pertains to the church. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. He says in verse 7, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You see that all of these attributes he talks about in the last days, you see that all over Nashville, Tennessee, and all over this country today. People have no regard for God. They'll worry about God later on when they get about 80 or 90. That's how people look at it. Right now, they have no regard for God. So because of this, down in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, because of these things, Paul says in chapter 4, verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Be ready at a moment's notice. Paul tells Timothy, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Here go these times again. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Paul tells Timothy, preach the word. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you. We can never be ashamed of the purpose and power of the word of God. It is a lamp unto our feet, a light that guideth our pathway. Because of it, it is our roadmap from earth to glory, where God is. And as I said in the onset, you'll never see God's face in peace unless you follow the Bible. We validated the word. We know it's real. Doesn't matter what King James was. Doesn't matter whether he was a drunk or whatever he was. Doesn't matter. It's from God. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Spirit of God. We know because of that, we are to trust the word. We know because of that, the word should unite us in the church. Like I said, we're the Bible church. We should be on one accord, having a strong knowledge of the word of God and going out like the apostles did in Acts 2 and preaching this word everywhere, just like they did. We should stand on the power of the word. And we should continue, as Paul tells Timothy, to preach the word. Tonight, if you're here, last chance God has given you during this gospel meeting to come and make your peace calling and election sure tonight. Tonight, if you're here and you are a member of the Church of Christ, maybe you have fallen by the wayside. That's okay. I told you, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. I've sinned. Everybody's sinned. That, you know, put the past behind you. It's not where you've been. It's where you're going. Come down tonight. Repent of your sins, Luke 13:3. I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Come, repent of your sins. And God has promised that if you come with a true heart repenting, he will forgive you of all of your sins. If you're here tonight and you're not a member of the church, you are standing a guilty distance from God. Bible says you must hear the word, believe it with all of your heart, repent of your sins, confess Christ, and be buried with the Lord in baptism for the remission of your sins. If you need the Lord tonight in any way, please come as together we stand while we sing.